Hi, everybody. This is Sharon Odom from Cosmetic Surgery Today, and welcome to another episode of our continuing series, Inside Cosmetic Surgery. Our special guest today is Dr. John Ferguson, a board-certified cosmetic surgeon from Honolulu, Hawaii, by the way of Texas. Hi, Dr. Ferguson. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Well,
Thank you for
joining us today to discuss how you've integrated new technology into your practice for improving patient education. What does that mean exactly?
Definitely my pleasure.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, it's the way that I was trained, and one of the things that I hold dear to myself is having the patients know what's going on. To me, the days of the patriarchal doctor are done. This is especially in cosmetic surgery. I mean, it's a two-way street. We both the patient Anna and me have to really be on the same page so that they have a great experience and good outcomes. And the most important aspect of that is education, teaching the patients not only what to expect, but why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it just makes it a better, a better experience for the patient. And once again, it makes the outcomes so much better.
Right. So how did you get started using new technology in your practice?
Well, I've always been, a little computer geek kind of person. I've always played with computers. When I was at University of Texas, I did a lot of graphic arts for computer journals, and kind of got in it from that standpoint, and that's really led me into a lot of computer graphics, which to me is the basis of my education with patients. It all has to do, with being able to talk to them, but really being able to illustrate not only what's going to happen during surgery, why I choose to do what I do, but how they're going to look afterwards, and it really just kind of stemmed from my working with computer graphics.
Okay, so give me an example of using technology in your practice.
Well, just about every patient that comes in for any kind of procedure, short of maybe liposuction or something like that, I will definitely do some imaging to show them, kind of what to expect afterwards or what my goal is for surgery. And that involves both 2D imaging on the computer as well as 3D imaging. We actually have a 3D camera and programming available to actually show a three-dimensional representation of what the patients, what we anticipate them looking like, whether it's facial surgery, noses, even breast surgery. And we can show them on a three-dimensional model what they're going to look like. Now, certain things, there are some limitations with some of the 3D technology, but you can always fall back on the good old 2D technology that's available and still give a very accurate representation of what they should expect postoperatively.
Right. So you mean you actually can show the patient what they will look like afterwards?
Yes. Yes.
And how do you do that exactly? Is that a certain kind of program or software?
Well,
what is that?
I use. I actually have about five different software programs that I use, and they all, have their pluses and minuses, and it just kind of depends on what kind of procedure. If I'm doing breasts, if it's something that's really going to entail a lot of 3D shifting, like putting any kind of augmentation in, whether it's breast augmentation, doing a chin augmentation, cheeks, that kind of stuff, I'll actually do 3D imaging. I have a 3D camera and 3D system by Axis 3 that really does a wonderful job of showing what the patient's going to look like. Even with breast implants, I mean, it actually, I can dial in both brands, either Allergan or Mentor breast implants, any size, any shape. They're all automatically, they're already programmed into the computer, so I just push a button and comes out, you know, 2375 silicone implants, and it puts it in there.
And the prediction usually matches up to the real life result?
Absolutely. It really does. It really does. You know, and it allows me to do certain things that, you know, you can adjust the implant. You know, you can adjust the size of the pocket that you're going to create based upon the patient's chest wall. You know, those kinds of things. You can adjust for that. And then you can even, you know, the different size chin implants or, you know, the different styles of cheek implants, you can punch right in and really give patients an accurate representation of the volume and 3D changes that are going to happen. Now, for other things that aren't that important for three-dimensionals, such as like noses or facelifts, things like that, 2D imaging is great. I use several different programs for that. I've got virtual plastic surgery software. I've got the old Uni system, and even just, you know, plain old Photoshop works really well too.
Right. Now, I've seen some of those 3D images on various websites. They actually show procedures being performed, and do you use that kind of thing? You know the thing I'm talking about? I forgot the name of it, but...
Oh, yeah, there's a company out there that does that for educational purposes. I actually, I use my own images that I've created.
Okay.
When I'm doing patient education as far as how the procedure is going to go, that kind of, you know, along that, where I've basically created images myself, like taking somebody through the entire step of, you know, the entire process of say, abdominoplasty, you know, take them step by step. And I like to use my own images just because, you know, after you know what you're going to say, you kind of want to make sure that you say the same thing over and over so that each patient gets the same information. And so I just like to use my own images. And there's not a time that I walk into a room with a consult that I don't have, like, my iPad with me with all the images that I like.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how graphic do you get on these images? I mean, do you just show... You don't actually show the, you know,
no, these are, you know, representations. They're not actual intraoperative photos. If somebody asks, definitely, I mean, I'll show them if they want to see. Most patients don't want to. But if they do, I have them available. but, you know, just showing the regular, you know, drawn anatomy just really, really helps the patients understand quite a bit.
I can imagine. So how has it improved patient education in your practice?
Well, it's just wonderful. Patients know what to expect afterwards. Doing what we do, figuring out what a patient needs based upon their desires, and then doing the surgery, that's the easy part. That's definitely the easy part of what we do. The difficult part is that postoperative period because, you know, the patients, this, you know, they're going into this. They're not exactly sure what to expect afterwards. You know, there's a real, you know, trend for patients to have a little post-treatment or post-surgical depression, that kind of stuff, because they don't know what they didn't know exactly what to expect or why something was done.
Right.
And this, I don't have that. I just don't really have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Since I started really spending a lot of time just educating them and showing them why I'm going to do something, what's the anatomical basis for it, what to expect based upon doing that, and they really, you know, I honestly don't really even get any calls from patients postoperatively. I give everybody my cell phone, and I might get a call once every 2 or 3 months. Because the patients know what to expect.
Yeah, and I imagine it's probably much better to see their own face or their own body post-op in those pictures
absolutely.
As opposed to someone else's.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've started doing over about the last 2 years is, in addition to showing them the final results, I can use most of the commercial programs that are available for surgery don't let you do this, but I do this with Photoshop. Show them kind of what they're going to look like immediately post-op.
Yes, that's great, because so many times they're bruised or, swollen.
Yeah, especially doing eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, the eyes take some time to heal, and,
right.
And it can take a couple weeks, and I can show them the progression that they should expect. And so they don't come in, the day after surgery or a week after surgery really, freaking out because they didn't expect this. The patients know. They know, and it's very, very comfortable for them.
Awesome. So how has it affected the way that you treat patients? I mean, if you didn't have the technology available, what would you do differently as opposed to what you're doing now?
Well, I think some of the technology that's available, not just at imaging, but, I would say some of the different devices that are available surgically, like, say, the laser lipolysis, to me, that's just been, that's been a wonder to the treatment of fat. And then our knowledge that we're gaining on the treatment of fat, both removal and transfer. I mean, that kind of technology that's out there has really changed quite a bit how we treat people. It's also given us a better understanding of the three-dimensional aspects of what we do. I can tell you, it's rare that, I will do a facelift where I might add some extra tissue, some fat, things like that, because now we know that loss of soft tissue is part of the aging process. And not only doing, the external three-dimensional imaging, but the studies that have been done doing volumetric in imaging with CTs over time, and doing 3D recreations with CTs so you can get an idea of the volume changes that occur in the face has really made the rejuvenation process that we do here. It's really made it much more satisfying. It gives you a much more natural look. You're not all swept back. You can take into consideration those kind of volumetric changes that we just didn't have. We had the knowledge that it was there, just didn't have a way of objectively evaluating it. Now we do.
Hmm.
The other thing, once again, is going back to laser lipolysis. I mean, that's
what is that? What is laser lipolysis? Is that where they? Well, tell me what it is.
Well, laser lipolysis is just using a laser, a pulsed laser, and it basically breaks down fat cells. The first one was a smart lipo that came out towards the end of 2006, and fortunately for me, I was able to be the first one to do it. After it became approved, and so it's just been a wonder for the treatment of fat. I mean, I hate to say it, but I would say about 80-90% of the male lipo patients that I do are active military. As they get older, they want to stay in. But as you get older, it gets harder and harder to control certain aspects of your anatomy, especially fat deposition. And
yes,
for sure. I get a lot of them that come in, and the nice thing about using the laser as opposed to traditional liposuction is they're back doing their regular PT the next day.
Yeah.
It's something that you don't run the risk of fat emboli. The patients are up and about, so, DVTs aren't a problem. I mean, and because the cannula is only like 1 millimeter, you don't really get any streaking. There's no rippling. There's no irregularities, and you can get into places that traditionally, you really couldn't do with regular liposuction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, in my opinion, is a game changer when it comes to the treatment of fat.
Great. Well, can you give me any examples of some, great patient stories? No names, of course, but just some examples of people that you've
helped.
Here's
a great one.
Okay.
It's just somebody I saw yesterday. This is a woman. She's in the Air Force. And she'd been in for 20 years. She had one stripe to go to make Master Chief. Unfortunately, though, she was postmenopausal, gained a little bit of weight, and she couldn't pass her tape test. And all she wanted was her last stripe. That's all she wanted was her last stripe, so she could retire as Master Chief. And she came in, and we took care of taking a couple of, she couldn't pass her tape test.
What is
And
that?
that's the tape test. That's where the in the military they take certain measurements primarily around the abdomen, and they have this chart that they go by. And if
Oh,
you're
okay.
bigger, percentage, and it's based upon, your height,
You're right.
your weight, certain things that don't change, like your neck circumference, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And you got to fall into this chart or you're out. And that's why I get so many military, because, with the way that the economy is, it's a job.
Yeah.
And and people don't want to lose their jobs. But with this woman, all she wanted was her last stripe so that she
Right.
could retire. And she had three tape tests in a row that she failed. And her next one, she was out. And she came in, and a week after we did her laser lipolysis, she called me up and she got her stripe.
She passed the test, the tape
Yep.
test. All right.
Yeah.
That's a great
And
story.
and those, I do quite a bit of that. I mean, like I said, especially here in Hawaii, we have such a huge military population here.
Right.
And once again, with the way the economy is, they want to keep their jobs.
Yes, of course.
Especially, once you, get, into your 30s and 40s and it's harder to find a job. And, they've been doing it for so long, but then, age creeps up on you. And no matter how much you exercise, some people just have a genetic predisposition to accumulate fat in certain areas.
Yes, well,
That's where I come in.
yes. Okay. Well,
But
I'll
that's
be
what's
on the
neat.
first plane to Hawaii.
But that's what's so neat about it is, you can I can do this, and they can be back at work the next day just doing their regular training.
Yeah.
Doing regular physical therapy or their regular PT without any problems. I mean, I've had,
Right.
when I was in Alabama and Florida before I moved here, I had SEALs coming up from Panama City and Pensacola that were getting, they're, 35, 40 years old, and they're obviously in perfect health, but, they got a little paunch here or there, and take care of that, and they're back in the water the next day.
Great, excellent. Well, this has been very informative. I was really interested in how how people, how you were using technology in your practice, just because technology is all around us and it's part of our daily lives. So this has been really great. So, would you like to tell our listeners more about your practice and your website, perhaps?
Sure. The website is thefergusonclinic.com. The practice that I'm in right here, it's actually been this office has been here. It was the first office in this particular building, started in 1970 by Dr. Robert Flowers, one of the one of the godfathers of plastic surgery. And he was here for up until about 2 years ago in this same office. And he called me up 2 years ago and asked if I wanted to, he wanted to come over and take over for him. And so about 2 years ago I did. And we have, it's just a wonderful thing. I'm sitting here in my office right now with, 360 degree view of Honolulu.
Oh, it
Over
must be
looking,
tough.
I'm looking straight down at the Honolulu Harbor, and it's just a beautiful place. It's
Excellent.
very large. We have a fully accredited surgical suite with two huge ORs that actually overlook the water. I mean, they're floor-to-ceiling windows that overlook the water.
Great.
It's just a phenomenal place.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us and talking about your experiences with your practice
Thank you
and
very much for having me.
thanks a lot.
Thank you.